Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to the Trumpet Radio Live Tuesday edition here on Trumpet Radio 101.3. We're KPCG. Thanks for joining us online, kpcg.fm as well. A lot to talk about today. Of course, the debates last night. We'll have some discussion about that. Some good articles also on that topic. And a few other stories to get to from around the world. Always lots to discuss. And we're glad you're joining us today here on Trumpet Radio Live 101.3 KPCG. kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Tuesday, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that at kpcgfm, or you can send us emails or anything else to comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today with me as well. You watch the debates, I suppose, like many Americans.
Couldn't resist.
Yes. Couldn't turn away from it as much as we wanted to. Impressions. What were your thoughts about it?
I thought it was really interesting. It was pretty vicious at times, like I was expecting. There were times where both Clinton and Trump went at each other and were interrupting each other repeatedly. I thought there was a pretty clear slant from Lester Holt, the moderator, because he interrupted Trump 41 times compared to Clinton only 7 times. And then also he asked Trump 6 follow-up questions, but none to Hillary Clinton. Also, a lot of the topics it covered, Trump and him supposedly saying that Mr. Obama wasn't born here and then finally changing that stance. A couple things about how 40 years ago, maybe he didn't rent to black people, stuff like that. And I'm just thinking the whole time, what about all these questions about maybe Benghazi or the emails or something to just even it out and show that maybe both sides have some flaws here?
Right. And then not a lot of talk about actual topics in terms of things that the country needs to do going forward. I mean, there was the general, you know, comments that are made about we're going to save the economy with green energy and so forth. We're still waiting on that one. I heard that one 8 years ago. And that still hasn't worked. So just these general, you know, platitudes that I think people expect them to throw out there. But no practical, okay, how is this actually going to happen? And it's kind of funny because, you know, the fact checkers, they're going crazy and checking all the facts and everything. And Donald Trump at one point, he made a flippant comment to Hillary Clinton. He said, "You've been fighting ISIS your entire adult life." And the fact checkers jumped all over that. They said, "That's not true." Clearly, that's not true. It was a flippant.
Not since she was 20. No.
Yeah, it was a flippant comment. His point was she's been dealing with this and not solving the problem. And they jumped all over it. I was like, wow, way to go, guys.
It's only been 8 years, 10 years, 20 years.
He wasn't serious, but yeah. The fact checkers jumped on that. So anyway, it is, I think probably overall it was probably a little embarrassing for the country. There was not a lot of debate about actual problems going on and how to solve them. It was more, you know, name calling and that type of thing. So that does happen, though. But I got a joke sent to me from one of our listeners, which is kind of funny. Lighten the mood a little bit with all of this. They saw this joke online and sent it to me. So if you've heard this already, I apologize, but it's kind of funny. It says, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump go into a bakery. As soon as they enter the bakery, Hillary steals 3 pastries and puts them in her pocket. She says to Mr. Trump, "See how clever I am? The owner didn't see anything, and I don't even need to lie. I will definitely win the election." Donald Trump says to Hillary, "That's the typical dishonesty you have displayed throughout your entire life. Trickery and deceit. I am going to show you an honest way to get the same result." Donald goes to the owner of the bakery and says, "Give me a pastry and I will show you a magic trick." Intrigued, the owner accepts and gives him a pastry. Trump swallows it and asks for another one. The owner gives him another one. Then Donald asks for a third pastry and eats that too. And the owner is starting to wonder where the magic trick is and asks, what did you do with the pastries? And Trump replies, look in Hillary's pockets.
Very good.
So that's a good joke. I don't know. I don't know if there's what the meaning of it is, if there's any meaning behind it, but I had to give credit out to a listener that enjoyed that joke and wanted to forward it on. So that was the best thing about the debate, that joke.
That's a wonderful joke.
So anyway, I don't know what the leaning of that joke was, one side or the other, but it was kind of funny, I thought.
Clearly both sides are at fault there, so fair enough.
No one's doing anything good there. But, you know, the one thing that really did, I guess, stand out to me about the debate that I think is really a dangerous thing is how the term racism is being thrown around. They were, Hillary Clinton, of course, threw that accusation at Donald Trump. Probably not surprisingly, that is something that they have been pushing against him with, but it's really dangerous to throw out statements like that or accusations without any proof. She tried to conjure up some proof, but I don't think it really proved anything. But to throw that accusation at somebody running for office, it's pretty dangerous because what if he wins? You have told the nation that this person hates a certain segment of the population. Extremely dangerous, and it's thrown out there so casually to discredit him, but it's an extremely dangerous thing to do, and I thought that was not a good thing.
Right. Last night, this is almost word for word what she said. At one point, she said, I find it unfortunate that you would characterize the African-American community this way, and right when she started saying it that way, it was a subtle hint that Donald Trump is a racist, as she always says. He starts shaking his head, and you can hear him go, "Ugh," because it's just you get so tired of that after a while. No one wants to just hear people call others racist. That's not a good way to argue, and it's the most evil thing you could call someone today.
And it's not unifying in any sense. There's a story that is tied into this sort of, sadly, from my hometown of or my home state of Wisconsin here, the Milwaukee Bucks, the basketball team. Their president calls Milwaukee segregated and racist. Not a great way to endear yourself to the community. This is a story here from NBC Sports. Milwaukee Bucks president Peter Fain was in Madison speaking to the Rotary Club of Madison about the Bucks' new arena and how it will help the inner city of Milwaukee. And this is what he said according to the Madison Business Journal. He said, quote, very bluntly, Milwaukee is the most segregated racist place I've ever experienced in my life. It is just a place that is antiquated, in desperate need of repair. And he goes on to say some other things. Again, that's just a wild accusation, a very dangerous thing to say. He has no proof. He just throws it out there. Even from a business standpoint, that's a bad thing to say because people aren't going to be too keen to go to your games. But the signal that that is sending to the country is nothing but division. That's a terrible thing to say. And for a business, a person in business that represents as president of one of the big, you know, sports leagues to or teams in the NBA, to throw that out there, no proof, nothing, just boom, there it is. How dangerous is that? It's just a lie.
Right, and it's also debatable who is pushing for segregation today. We've even seen it coming from a lot of blacks trying to even segregate, which is confusing when 50 years ago we fought to stop that. It's even debatable where this push is coming from. So for him to throw it out there, like, it sounds like he's blaming whites and the police. That really is going to upset one side and then give the other side false hope, really.
Well, it's just putting fuel on the fire. Right, so dangerous to say something like that. So that's kind of when I saw that in the debate last night, that accusation, and then you see it here in some of these reports, people don't know what they're doing. You don't just throw out those things, especially with no proof, and just expect people to believe it, because they will believe it, and then you got problems like we've seen in a lot of communities.
Hillary Clinton tried to bring up last night that 40 years ago Donald Trump refused to rent apartments to black people at one of his properties. He then went on to very clearly explain that there was a group at that time suing a lot of different businesses, and he was cleared of all guilt in that case. That's something that she conveniently left out in her flailing attempt to brand him as a racist.
Well, and the other thing about it is, it doesn't matter how you answer the question or the accusation, it sticks. The accusation sticks. And you seem like you're just trying to get out of it. So when those terms are thrown out there, it's just so dangerous, and I wish they would stop doing that.
What would be the more effective way to respond? Sometimes I think saying something like, shut up, idiot, would be more effective, because then you don't even let the conversation get that far. Obviously, that's descending into grade school terminology, but obviously all of his explanations and all of his proof that he's not a racist has not really done much to quell the accusations.
Yeah, it does become kind of like kids on the schoolyard yelling at each other, unfortunately. But some dangerous rhetoric flying around there. I'd like to think it'll stop, but I don't think that it will. I think that's the whole goal. And as the LA Times reports today, Mrs. Clinton is making the whole election a referendum on Donald Trump. It's not so much about what she'll do. It's more about, hey, look at this guy. And, okay, fair enough. I mean, they feel like that's how they have to do it to try to win. But when you start throwing dangerous accusations out, now, I mean, if there's a legitimate issue, it should be brought out and it should be talked about. But those type of accusations are just dividing the country. And as we see race riots happen, you'd think people would calm down the rhetoric a little bit, but they're not.
Yes, and Donald Trump even pointed out during the debates that almost every police group in the entire country has endorsed him. Is there a reason for that? They talked about race relations in the country at length last night, and she once again used that term systemic racism in policing, while Donald Trump was pointing out the success of that stop and frisk method that Rudy Giuliani used in New York, and how it decreased crime or murders 1 year in New York from 2,200 down to 500. Yeah, when you search someone who looks suspicious and is hanging around the wrong places at night, that might not be racist. That is actually stopping bigger crimes from taking place.
Well, we all go through that sort of when you go into like a sports arena. Maybe it's not an exact frisk, but they do the wand and check your stuff. They do it when you go into an airport. I never freak out about it. I don't have anything to hide. I know it's part of the safety procedures. So,
but that's racist, though. That's the point. We can't really have police feeling comfortable doing their jobs now because they're under attack.
Right.
And it's just disgusting to hear these things about how, well, they're automatically racist as soon as they put on the uniform. That's what so many people in the media have been saying recently, and it's just not true.
Yeah, getting to be pretty nasty with some of the comments and the accusations going back and forth. And I think even last night she said something about how words matter. Yeah, think about that. They do.
Right.
Everybody's, hers too. So pretty interesting to see some of that happen. This is sort of related to that whole situation. New York Post, Charlotte rioters don't care if shooting was justified. Don't care. The Charlotte rioters, says, didn't know whether the controversial police shooting of Keith Scott was justified and didn't care. They worked their mayhem, trashing businesses and injuring cops, with one protester killed in the disorder before anything meaningful could be ascertained about the case, except that the cop said Scott had a gun and the family said he didn't. Charlotte is the latest episode in the evidence-free Black Lives Matter movement that periodically erupts in violence after officer-involved shootings. The movement is beholden to a narrative of systematic police racism, as you mentioned, to which every case is made to conform regardless of the facts or logic. That's a write-up from the New York Post, and they go on to bring out some more points about it. But really, you know, it's become a situation of riot first, and then who cares about the facts? Nobody waited until the facts came out. And when they did come out, there wasn't a book there, but there was a loaded weapon.
And there were drugs.
Yeah. So, again, this is just all kind of building into a bad situation. And when you have leaders or people in high positions, whether it's politically or in business, and they just throw out, you're racist, you're this, you're that, words matter. So that's a bad deal.
Yeah, it used to be regarding the police, shoot first, ask questions later, and now it's riot first, ask no questions later. were we more safe back then or now when the police even hesitate to shoot those people who were about to throw that white reporter into the fire?
Right.
If they're even afraid to shoot people who are about to throw an unconscious man into a fire, then we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, somebody we were talking to lately said, you know, once that happens, your society is over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And even last night, Mr. Trump did say that they have to restore law and order. And didn't say how they were going to do it, but he did say law and order. And people don't like that. They don't like to hear that. But there is some truth to that.
Yeah, he also said last night, Secretary Clinton refuses to use two words, law and order.
Right.
Great point. Because what did she do right after those shootings in Charlotte and Tulsa? She said, something needs to change, as in the police are at fault here. These are just innocent black men, when obviously as soon as you check the record, they're not that innocent in based on what they've done in the past. So not innocent, but regardless of the facts, it just seems like she's shamelessly pandering for the black vote.
Yeah, and it's a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing to, again, throw some of those terms around. Of course, while that's going on, you have this ongoing national anthem kerfuffle.
I love that word.
Can I say that?
Wonderful.
Navy sailor refuses to stand during national anthem. A Navy sailor refuses to stand during the national anthem.
Should he be flogged?
It's a woman.
Is that still a form of punishment there now?
There might be some punishment, but probably not. A U.S. Navy sailor is under investigation for refusing to stand during the national anthem. Intelligence Specialist Second Class Janier Irvin, a reservist stationed at Pearl Harbor, posted on Facebook about why she's following in the footsteps of Colin Kaepernick, that great war general, and others who have demonstrated against police brutality during the anthem. She says, I feel like a hypocrite singing about the land of the free when I know that only applies to some Americans. Again, there's no proof of that. That is just inflammatory rhetoric. It's a lie. It's a lie. And they just throw it out there. And then she wrote, I will gladly stand again when all Americans are afforded the same freedom. Lies, lies, lies. She lost her security clearance and has been threatened with jail by Navy in response to her actions, but I don't suppose much will happen there. They say troops who don't stand for the national anthem could face prosecution under the Uniform Code of Military Justice for violating Article 92, which states that troops can be punished for failing to obey a lawful general order. But what is it coming to? You're in the military. You signed up. There's not a draft. You signed up. But what are you supporting? What are you behind? What are you fighting for? You won't stand for the national anthem? Come on.
It kind of disproves Colin Kaepernick's claims that he's trying to show respect to the military by kneeling, when that is actually punishable in the military itself. Clearly, it is disrespectful. The military even enforces rules saying that such an action is disrespectful. But let's disregard that and keep applauding their right to freedom of speech.
If you can't get a hold of this in the military, what do you have left? You know, just look at these things that have happened. Like you said, unconscious reporter being dragged into a fire. Police just watch it until they intervene at the very end, sort of. A sailor won't stand during the national anthem. Accusations of racism and all of these things going around. At what point do you have a civilization anymore? Is there no law and order? It's unbelievable. So who knows what will happen there? But again, one person does it seems like, you know, refusing to stand, and then it gets into the social media, and then other people want to do it, and they think they're taking a stand. But just that lie, I won't stand for the land of the free when I know that only applies to some Americans. That's not true. That is not true, and she cannot prove that, but she says it. Therefore, it is so, and that's the theme you see in all of these stories today. Just because they said it, it's so. Never mind the truth. That's dangerous, very dangerous.
Yeah, this is an issue of just simple law and order. If we don't follow the laws, no matter the race, there are punishments for it. It shouldn't be just simplified down to an issue of race. If a white criminal gets shot, that's not necessarily something that I would be extremely outraged over. it's just a white criminal reaping the fruits of his way of life. And that's how it is with any criminal. They're choosing that path. So, when has just a completely innocent person been shot by police? It hardly ever happens. It might happen every few years, maybe. And they admit that the police made a mistake and the police do go to prison. There have been plenty of police sent to prison. Even Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City, said he sent almost 80 policemen to prison for wrongly applying the law. But at the same time, he reduced a ton of crime by just having proactive policing. It's like we're trying to turn the entire country against law and order. We're trying to say, well, disregard whether or not this person was being obedient to the laws that we are beholden to in this country. Let's make it an issue of race. And look how upset people are. It's really going to lead to some devastating wars in the street.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing. There's a lot of write-ups at thetrumpet.com that talk about where this is heading. You can just search under, the archives and find a whole lot that's been written for years there about what happens when you start to destroy law and order and you start to just throw out lies all the time, accusing people of things. It doesn't end well. That doesn't end with peace. That ends with violence, and that's what we're seeing, and it's going that way. Check that stuff out at thetrumpet.com. Just unfortunate, boy, and just dangerous, some of those comments that are being thrown around there. Again, without any proof. Just throw it out there. Because they said it, it is so.
Well, that's a common tactic of all the most evil leaders in history.
Absolutely.
Just repeat something until people are fooled by it and they think it's true, and that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. Anybody that's done even a light look into the Nazi regime and Hitler, that's what they did. They just demonized the Jews, and there was no truth to it, but they just kept saying it. And well, okay, good enough. That didn't end well. So,
no.
And that's people try to act like, oh, that could never happen again. Well, the seeds of that are happening right now by the comments they're making. Crazy. And the danger now is that everybody's a journalist because everybody's on social media, right? So everybody's got their big say about things.
And they become expert video editors as well.
Yeah.
They take out the part where the guy is holding a gun and about to point it at the police before he gets shot. And they just say, oh, this unarmed man was reading a book. Total lie.
Yeah. Yep. Those are some of the things that are happening domestically, internationally. Here's an interesting one from the Washington Post. Iran's likely next supreme leader is no friend of the West. Surprise, surprise. So we don't know exactly who that'll be, but they're looking at this guy. They say it is often suggested that the most consequential barrier to Iranian pragmatism is Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Once he's gone, they say they'll become more mainstream. Based on what exactly?
So the radical Islamist leader of the country, as soon as it's a different radical Islamist leader, that's going to fix things?
It'll all be fine. That's the hope that some people have. But as the Washington Post points out here, that doesn't appear likely. There's a new guy that they are grooming. His name is Razi. He's 56 years old. And like Khamenei, he hails from the city of Mashhad. Or Mossad, I guess it is. After a stint in the seminary, he has spent his entire career in the Islamic Republic's enforcement arm, serving as prosecutor general, head of the General Inspection Office, and lead prosecutor of the Special Court of the Clergy. He was responsible for the death commission that in the summer of 1988 oversaw the massacre of thousands of political prisoners on trumped-up charges. So that might be the next guy. We don't know, but we know Iran's not going to get friendlier, that's for sure.
Definitely doesn't sound like a moderate there. And those trumped up charges, who knows what exactly those could be. But in that kind of a rigid religious type of society, I mean, pretty much anything you do that doesn't adhere strictly to the Quran is probably punishable by death.
Absolutely. Trumped up charges. Trumped up charges happen in this country, too. Now, we've got a story about that later. But I've been reading a book about some of the history of the Third Reich. And they got rid of people all the time. Trumped up charges. Ah, guilty of this. See ya. Sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't. Didn't matter. And the people that took them to court, they were guilty of it too or worse. But it didn't matter. Trumped up charges. You see the same thing in Iran. You see it in a lot of these regimes. So anyway, Iran is not getting friendlier as they move forward. And we know that's the case from a Bible prophecy.
Wow. Yeah, trumped up charges. That's another thing that actually came up in the debate last night too. Is that really happening here? Because based on what one of the candidates said, it is happening here depending on what color your skin is. look over in a nation like Iran, where people just disappear and eventually are found that they're dead because they disagree with the government. Is that happening here?
Right. And this is interesting, too, because part of the debates last night, they were talking about Iran and Mrs. Clinton was saying that it was a great deal and all this.
Puts a cap on their capabilities for the next several years.
And that's, everyone knows that. I think everybody knows that's ridiculous. I don't think anyone believes that. I can't believe anyone would believe that it's a good deal. And even here today, the Washington Post, which is a big friend of hers, it's not like they're conservative, they're just pointing out that, yeah, the next leader is probably going to be more radical. So what's going to happen then? You know, it's going to get worse. All that cash we've given them that they're turning into weapons, they should maybe talk about that in the debates.
She really should have avoided the Iran deal at all costs during the debate last night, because it did not sound sincere. It didn't even look like she believed what she was saying regarding some of the benefits of the deal.
Yeah, all kinds of things going on there. We got a little more information about some of the way the media is handling the debates. We'll talk about that in a minute. A couple of segments here to lighten the mood, if that's possible. A couple of odd things that are going on. You know, you ever go to the airport and think to yourself, I wish I didn't have to walk anywhere ever? Well, there's something for you. Introducing the motorized ride-along suitcase for adults. So, now there are people that go to the airport, and they do have a harder time because they're older or there's a handicap, and they can get a ride. You always see them getting a ride. But now, everybody can get a ride. An American entrepreneur has come up with what is called the Moto Bag, a piece of carry-on which is designed to convey grown-ups through busy airports with minimum possible effort. Isn't that the goal? Minimum possible effort at all costs?
Seems like that is automatically considered a good thing today. If it takes a little bit less effort, that's right. What you want.
All these reports that sitting too long kills you, and now we want to sit on our luggage.
That's the one time you could really get a good mile-long walk in.
Yeah,
going to the other end of the airport.
And if you got a long flight coming up, you don't want to be sitting on your bag. I'd be sitting for hours. So anyway, I don't know. They say the downside, if there is one here, when compared to a ride-along bags for junior travelers, the Moto Bag does not look like a creature from the African savannah or medieval fairy tale. It's just a straight-up bag. On the plus side, it does come with a motor, a steering pole, and brakes, meaning you can drive it all the way to your flight's last call without working up a sweat or shortness of breath.
So it might be relaxing, but it would also cost you the respect of all the other travelers judging you as you go past.
Well, I was thinking, though, what if everyone had one of these? It would be traffic jams. You'd be banging into somebody else with their bag and they knocking them over. Then you have to put an airbag on the bag. There'd be all kinds of safety things you'd need. They say the Moto Bag can even reach speeds 3 times faster than walking, an indoor setting of 5 miles per hour and an outdoor setting of 8 miles per hour. So you can zip through the airport there on your motorized bag.
So the bag knows whether you're indoors or outdoors and somehow can adjust the speed to that?
That's a great question.
That's impressive, actually, if it can do that, if it knows somehow where it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. Some airports are indoor and outdoor. You go through an outdoor section into another indoor section, so got to speed up there through the, I don't know. But they have the people movers, though. You get on them and you walk and they move you along. So now you got to get on there and ride your bag on the people mover.
And there's even those beeping carts that are always driving people past.
Right. And so anyway, that's something you might want to get. I don't think I'll be going that direction. I think I'll just take the normal bag.
A good brisk walk, get the heart rate up. Sure. Maybe even take the tram in between terminals.
Yep. There's ways to do it, but somebody's trying to make... Though we do have some luggage that has a cup holder on it.
Nice.
And so we didn't get it for that reason, but it was cool. And when we've traveled with it, we've had quite a few people stop and note it and say, hey, look at that. Put your little coffee in there. Pull it along. It's a great, great deal.
People automatically admire you for using it for multiple purposes.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of, that's the nicest anyone's ever been to me when traveling. Like, hey, nice cup holder. Thank you. This is one more kind of funny one. This is from The Telegraph. Norwegian Airlines, they're trying to take advantage of the fact that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up. That's a big news in the entertainment sphere. Norwegian Airlines is hoping to turn heartbreak into holiday bookings with a new tongue-in-cheek advertising campaign. The advertisement surfaced on Friday, just 2 days after Angelina Jolie announced she had filed for divorce from Brad Pitt, and have caused mirth and raised eyebrows in equal measure. It says, Brad is single, and then it has a one-way airfare to Los Angeles advertised for £169.
From where?
Norwegian Airlines, so I guess.
All the way from Norway?
Wherever they're flying from.
That's like, what is that, like barely over $200?
It's not a bad rate.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, but anyway, they're trying to hope that people will buy their ticket because they can go see Brad Pitt now. I'm sure no one's actually going for that reason, but kind of humorous, maybe, but if you're that individual, you're probably like, come on. That's the penalty for the price you pay for being a public figure.
Who knows? Maybe you'll find a wife really quickly this way.
Maybe. Hope he likes people from Norway.
Hopefully they speak English.
We'll find out. So that's couple of the more humorous things that are going on today. Kia David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Make sure you listen for that. Always some good segments. One of them today is about the new Kia David booklet, which is fairly new. It's been out for a while, but then there's a new updated version that's larger, and so you can get that at thetrumpet.com. This show previews that booklet and is a good advertisement for that. Make sure you listen for that one, and again, it's a newer updated version, and you can find that at thetrumpet.com. That program will be airing here in just a bit on KPCG. Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host, Stephen Fleury, back from a one-day hiatus from Edstone, England there. And talked about a few things, kind of touched on the debates, didn't get into a lot of the back and forth. As he said, I'll spare you from the hearing any clips from it, but talked about that a little bit, and but then got into this piece about we haven't seen this happen since right before World War II. We talked about it a little bit yesterday on Trumpet Radio Live. Just some of the things that are happening out there, people look at it and they say, it looks like it looked before World War II.
Scary idea there, because remember what happened during World War II and how many people died from it, and also how long America took to get into it. So if we were slow to get into that war, we would be even slower now.
Yeah, and that's part of the debates last night too, that I think is should concern people if they're thinking, where Mr. Trump said that we're paying too much to these other nations and they should pay their fair share, or, you know, we can't be the policemen of the world and these different things. And they sound good, and maybe financially they seem like they make sense. But when we become isolationist, the rest of the world starts kind of going crazy. And we already are becoming isolationist in a lot of ways. And the rest of the world's really going kind of crazy. The Middle East is on fire. There's problems all over. Russia's expanding. Europe is reforming itself and trying to develop a military. So when we step back and say we don't want anything to do with the rest of the world, the problem is the rest of the world comes and finds you.
Yes.
They don't leave you alone. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Trump does seem pretty firm on making those NATO nations, for example, pay their share of the defense, because America does pay 73% of all of the NATO defense. And I can see why he would want to be firm on that. I get the impression he's just going to force them to pay more money and maybe not necessarily abandon them. Hopefully, if he wants to abandon NATO, that's historically just a very bad idea. The reason we went over there in the first place is because of what has happened in Europe in recent years. Don't want to get out of there, or else the same thing could happen.
Yeah. As is pointed out here on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as well, as much as some of these people that are writing these write-ups talk about how they've been watching it for a few years and they've seen it coming, you do need to go to thetrumpet.com and read the archives. I mean, it's been talked about just from thetrumpet.com and the Trumpet magazine for over 20 years. And you go back further than that with Herbert Armstrong, he talked about it since, way early. It's been, 70 years or more, knowing that these things would happen. And so the media is kind of paying attention, some of them anyway, to a few people that have made some predictions here, and they're starting to kind of come true in a sense. But they really should be paying attention to what's going on as far as the write-ups from thetrumpet.com, because it's hitting what's happening in the world, and it's been, again, it's been written about for a long time. That's a thing. It's not the old Johnny come lately. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time, writing about it. You can look at the archives, and I'd recommend that. That's at thetrumpet.com, and a lot of good write-ups there. So the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, that's coming your way here in a bit on KPCG, and if you can't catch it live, the archives are always available online at kpcg.fm and the trumpet.com as well. Well, we're going to talk a little bit now about the way the media is handling the debates. But before we get into that, we have to take another breather it just gets us, they can get kind of frustrating, those debates. So here's a good story for you, a quick one. Domino's customer discovers $5,000 in a chicken wings box.
Yes.
There you go. She usually says we're disappointed when our food order is wrong, but in this case, we'd be thrilled. A woman in San Jose named Selena Avalos ordered a chicken wings box from Domino's during her lunch break. When it arrived, there weren't any chicken wings in there, but there were $5,000 in cash. I'd just order it again, see if I got more money.
Why did she tell anyone she found that? They probably just made her give it back.
Well, she did, though. This is the nice thing about it. It says she's a wireless service provider employee. She suspected that the money was the Domino's bank deposit, and she called the restaurant, but she didn't hear from them for over a day. They couldn't bother to get back to her about it. Then she went and contacted her local ABC affiliate to get the money to the rightful owner. She was confused that Domino's did not initially call her back. She said, wouldn't they be thinking, where'd that money go? Eventually, the restaurant manager was contacted, as was the manager of the wireless company she works for. Not only did Domino's give her free pizza for a year, but her employer gave her a week off with pay for her honesty. Way to go. Nice job, Selena Avalos.
That would be hard to do, to return $5,000. That's borderline life-changing money right there, and to just give it back when it was given to you, that's difficult.
Yeah, so she was honest about it, and she got rewarded, sort of. The week off with pay is good. I'm not sure about the free pizza for a year. That might be a curse.
Well, I would go the other way and say it should have been for life.
Yeah.
They really owe her one.
They do. They owe her $5,000 worth of pizza. So anyway, that's nice to see. Sometimes people are really, you know, really very honest, and it's always great to see, and it pays off too. So she got some kudos for that. So good job on that. And now everyone's thinking about maybe ordering Domino's for lunch just to see what happens.
They probably don't have as good of intentions as she did, though,
man,
with that money.
Well, that manager should be very thankful, because he could have lost his job over that, he or she, whoever it was. I mean,
how do you put it in a chicken wings box?
I don't know. That's a bad place to put it. And, you know, when you're doing the books at the end and you say, we're 5,000 short, that's a problem. So, but anyway, he got it back, thankfully. So here's this story about the debates from last night that says a majority of Snap polls show Trump won debate by a landslide, despite CNN's overwhelming victory for Hillary in biggest official survey. So here you've got the after party, if you want to call it, of the debate, which is the media declaring winners and losers. But a lot of people say, no, we think Trump won. The big media say, no, Hillary won. So you've got these these battles going on.
That's right. And it's funny, because the CNN poll that solidly gave Hillary Clinton the win, it was a poll of only 521 registered voters, only 26 of whom, or 26% of whom, were Republican. So that might give you an idea of the slant of that. Anyway, there are other polls with more than a million or close to a million respondents that gave Trump as much as an 80% victory in the debate last night. So that just goes to show you, depending on your source, you might see a different result of the debate. It's funny, because Trump acknowledged how he won most of the polls that we could see. He tweeted, wow, did great in the debate polls, except for CNN, which I don't watch. Thank you.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that I think probably from the Hillary Clinton camp, I would think they'd be a little nervous, because all in all, I mean, they probably zinged him the way they wanted to. And people still, in a lot of cases, think, nah, he still won. So what do you do now? What do you do? Because she actually did okay, considering. I mean, if you're going to judge it on zingers, yeah, which is what they're judging it on, then yeah, she did fine. But still, a lot of people are saying, we think he won.
Yeah, and Trump really took her best punches on the chin and just kept marching forward. He was not fazed in the slightest by the things that she was saying. And he really could have capitalized a lot and turned some of those slanted questions around, maybe said not true to the moderator, and then just said, now why aren't you asking about the emails? Why aren't you asking about Benghazi? you know, why aren't you asking about all these scandals about your foundation? He didn't do that. And at the end, he actually was going to point out Bill Clinton's sex scandals because she was trying to call him a misogynist.
Right.
And he said, you know what? I did have a really good comeback for that, but I'm just not going to use it. He explained today, actually, that the reason he didn't do that was because he saw Hillary Clinton's daughter in the room.
Yeah.
And that's a really classy thing to do, because that would have been a huge knockout blow to close off the debate right there. And that's kind of sad that that's what we're looking for, is the zingers. And that's how a debate is really won or lost, it seems like. But you could see on Hillary Clinton's face that she was taken aback by some of Donald Trump's storms of verbal assaults.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what people think in general, but you know, there was some talk about, well, he was his temperament wasn't good, and you know, but I think to myself, well, aren't there some issues worth getting a little fired up over? Isn't there a time to get a little fired up? I think there is.
There definitely is, and I thought the whole tone of the debate, he was treating her like one of his children. It seemed like he was kind of the term is, he sunned her, like he treated her like the sun. Yeah. And it's a pretty funny term, but that's what it seemed like to me, was he was just kind of knocking her around without even using all of the big scandals that she's gotten caught up in. The one time he even said anything was when she was trying to hit him on not releasing his tax returns. And he basically said, I'll release my tax returns when you release 33,000 emails that you deleted.
Yeah.
But once again, he was defending himself, and he could have just launched a huge barrage of attacks on her scandals, but he didn't.
Well, it's funny, because when he said that about the emails, the audience burst into applause, and Lester Holt said, oh, now, come on now. Let's keep it quiet in here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Okay. There's some headlines just kind of about that. They called Holt the third debater.
Yeah.
He asked Trump 6 follow-up questions. He did not ask any of Clinton. Fact-checking becomes opinion journalism. Media's on display. They're pushing hard, but I don't know if people are buying it.
And there were several times in the debate, too, when Clinton was clearly looking for a response from the audience. She would say something all wide-eyed with a big smile on her face, looking around the room, and then everyone would start clapping. And Holt never told them to be quiet the several times that they did that. So it is pretty clear, the slant. But yeah, there are just a ton of polls here on this article. Drudge Report, Trump won by more than 80% of the voters. Time, he won 58%. CBS New York, he actually lost by, or actually he won by probably 55%. And then Donald Trump, he won Fox 5. So now they're just showing local entities from all around the country to get a feeling of the voting in different areas, or the opinion in different areas. He won by 61% here in Cincinnati, by 60%. San Diego, he won by 66%. So all these different, Nashville, a Nashville news outlet poll, he won 63%. Slate, he won 55%. Las Vegas Sun, he won 81%. So yeah, he's winning almost all of them. But if you listen to the commentary after the debate was over, everyone said Clinton was more polished and she was more presidential, while the other candidate was a fraud. And I'm just thinking, well, what did you actually watch here? Because he was knocking her around without even using his biggest ammunition.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was more polished for sure. I think she's done it before. But again, what do you see? That's the thing. Who won the debate? Well, what are we measuring by? Are we measuring by truth? Are we measuring by good ideas? Or
who
was the better speaker?
Yeah.
You know, there's one here from USA Today College, no surprise. It says, we asked college newspaper editors for reactions to the first Clinton-Trump debate. Here's what they told us. And basically, the college kids think that Hillary won because she stayed calm and had some good zingers.
Pretty shallow stuff.
What I mean, and again, so you have to stop and say, well, all right, is that the qualification to be a president, that you stay calm and you have good zingers? Or are you auditioning like a stand-up comedian? Because that's, what is that? You know, that's, even today there was the top story, I think it was on one of the emails the Washington Post sends out, was about the fact that he was sniffling. And when I saw him sniffle, I thought, okay, here we go. They're going to jump
on
that.
Yeah, I thought that too.
And then so their byline said, oh, you know, they questioned her stamina, but it looks like he had a cold.
Oh, no.
I'm like, well, people get colds. That's not like collapsing and almost dying. There's two different things there. So anyway, it is interesting to see how the media, they definitely have their candidates and they're pushing them. And so it's kind of the debate within the debate, or after the debate, I guess.
Yes, and we even read from a New York Post article recently that talked about how the media is basically permanently sacrificing credibility to make sure that Hillary Clinton wins. I just could not figure out what they were all watching when they said that she clearly won the debate. Yeah, if you're looking for maybe just a lower tone of voice the whole time and some good zingers here and there. But I thought Donald Trump smashed her pretty handily several times during the debate. And he really did get into some of the issues. He basically said at one point, you know, you have been in charge for the last 20, 25 years. You've been involved in national governance. And look at these problems. ISIS went from nothing to a worldwide threat in over 30 nations. They're already well established in over 30 nations, at least that we know of. And that all happened while you were Secretary of State. He kept on pointing back to the fact, look, you have a lot of experience, but it's really bad experience. Those are some pretty good points. That's some powerful stuff. And she can't really say much about him regarding that because he doesn't have political experience where he's failed.
Some of the media reports have said that, you know, even though he does get pretty fired up and isn't quite as calm, in a lot of ways, he's giving voice to people that are quite angry and that feel the same. And so, you know, there are people that agree with that, and they are frustrated. You know, did he provide any answers for anything? I don't think so. You know, and they don't have any answers. The problems are too big. They're just too big. Man doesn't have any answers. But at least a little frustration at the problems is refreshing, if nothing else.
And it was frustration at the problems. It wasn't like Hillary Clinton was getting under his skin, which is what some were trying to point out that happened. He was just upset about some of the failures of government the last 8 years especially, and he was pointing that out. She was not rattling him, and that was pretty clear up there on the stage. So there has been a clear slant to what has been reported. I mean, and they never call her out on saying some of those disgusting things that we've talked about. To call someone a racist and make that be a big part of your point. And again, she touched on, oh, you want to ban all Muslims. She said that briefly as well. Okay, come on. Just get back to actual substantive things. He doesn't hate all Mexicans. He doesn't hate all blacks. Can we get back to the issues?
Yeah, I mean, there was another write-up saying that they didn't even address Syria. That wasn't even talked about last night while Aleppo is getting just blasted off the earth pretty much. Mm-hmm. That wasn't addressed. Nothing was addressed really about terrorism, kind of a passing shot at it. The economy, yeah, they talked about it, but not really all that in depth, other than the fact that at least Mr. Trump did say that we have $20 trillion in debt and it's not sustainable. At least that's true, if nothing else. Can he solve it? No. But at least he's admitting that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Which I think people find somewhat refreshing. And so it's interesting to see. There's a LA Times, we mentioned this earlier, they have an article. This is what we learned in the first presidential debate. Clinton is making the election a referendum on Trump. And that's true. You know, granted, I guess when people run, they want to show their strengths and show the other person's weaknesses. In this case, I think all we're seeing is weaknesses, like pushing at weaknesses. Like, well, never mind me over here. Look at this guy. Mm-hmm. And again, the media has talked about it, and I think it's true. Nobody really likes either of them that much, and so it's a weird election. It's like, who do you like the least to vote for the other one?
It is, and one of the examples of Hillary making it a referendum on Trump was when she questioned his temperament, or basically his ability to get fired up about huge problems. That's how I take that. But he said, well, I saw you backstage kind of screaming at one of your staffers. Makes me wonder if you have the right temperament for this. And she has been notorious for just treating the people who work for her very horribly. So there's a lot of hypocrisy going on for her to have the nerve to say that, oh, you're hiding your tax returns because of some sort of fraud. Okay, why is your Clinton Foundation basically hidden by a Canadian shell company, so we can't answer or we can't access the records of your foundation here in America. Why is that the case? Is there something that you're trying to hide in your foundation? Is there something you're trying to hide in all those emails? And again, he did not go after her for those things, which I thought was pretty merciful, actually.
Not yet, anyway. We'll see what...
He's going to the next two. I think he came out pretty well ahead on that debate without using the big hits.
It's an event, if nothing else, I guess.
My heart was racing most of the hour and a half. I mean, it just was so confrontational and exciting, really.
Yeah, it doesn't, again, there just weren't a lot of answers in general, but it is interesting to look at it and look at what the media is saying about it. And again, also just kind of look at the spirit of it, because at the end of the day, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. Once that happens, can you come together as a people and move forward? I don't think you can when you throw out very inflammatory accusations at the other person about things such as race. If you're going to talk about job performance, well, fair enough. You're applying for a job. But when you throw out accusations without proof, I think it just divides, and I think it's going to be a problem.
Right. It's also very strange in these debates when you see them come out at the start and they greet each other with a warm smile and a firm handshake. Hillary Clinton could be heard on the microphone saying, "How are you, Donald?"
Right.
And then they proceed to savagely assault each other with these verbal attacks. I thought we were good friends here a second ago, and now we're just total enemies. At least acknowledge that hopefully each candidate has the best in mind for America, and then acknowledge your differences. You can avoid the personal attacks and just point at the record, point at the failure of certain policies. We don't need to get into name-calling. You know, Hillary once again said that he's saying crazy things to get a following and that he lives in his own reality.
Yeah.
And obviously... Trump has said that she doesn't have to look to be president, whatever that means. So there are a lot of attacks here that don't have to do with the issues and have everything to do with the candidate themselves.
Yeah, and I think it's just a distraction away from the reality, the cold reality that there aren't a lot of solutions. I mean, how are you going to solve these different things? And so anyway, that's an ongoing thing, but it is worth thinking about and talking about it because it affects the country and affects a lot of nations around the world. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more about that in the coming days on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show and the Trumpet Hour program, at least some of the highlights of things. And interesting to look at that. One more quick story before we end today. This is, again, just another one of those using race to try to intimidate. This is from Breitbart. It says, "Payback, Obama administration sues Peter Thiel's Palantir, his company, for bogus racial discrimination." The lawsuit filed and announced Monday by the Department of Labor threatens to complete cancellation of every contract Palantir has with the federal government, a penalty worth $340 million, which would end the company. This co-founder of it, Peter Thiel, he has supported the Republicans. So this is, they say, a little payback. It says the claims in the lawsuit are laughable. This is what Breitbart says. The Obama administration alleges that Palantir discriminated against Asians, but it has to admit that, in fact, they hired many Asians. 11 out of their 25 software engineers are Asian. The government does not even bother to claim that they deliberately excluded Asians. Rather, it argues that since only 44% of the software engineers are Asian, but 85% of the applicant pool was Asian, statistically they're discriminating, and they want to shut down his entire company. What country are we living in? Are you kidding me? They said, they say, in other words, almost all the software engineers at the company have to be Asian or else it is guilty of racial discrimination.
Those arguments are so easily disprovable. So because there were 85% applicants who were Asian, there have to be 85% software engineers who are Asian,
right?
Regardless of qualifications.
Yes.
Once again, that is out the window. I mean, it's the same with policing now. Regardless of who's committing the crimes, it's you have to have every race arrested illegally. That's just, come on. Anyone who thinks about that for a second doesn't fall for it.
And that's the type of thing that maybe they should talk about some of these debates. Pretty interesting.
call out the lies.
Yep. That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live today. Key David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show on the way. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. Live link, thetrumpet.com.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG.